Orus Beis, continuing the mimer of Imru Lefanei Malchus in the Heilige Or Gedaliah. Okay, so yesterday we learned that really the tachlis of life, and we're going to learn it even more today, is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We learned about the paradox of Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. I thought about it this morning when I said the words Adon Olam, that Hashem was the king before we existed, and yet at the same time, like we read the beautiful piece from Rav Soloveitchik yesterday, Hashem desperately needs us. He's a melech who's trapped in chains, and if we don't recognize Hashem in the world, there's not going to be Hashem in the world. We can't rely on the street to acknowledge God in a meaningful way. That's our job as Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's continue the Maimer, Os Beis, Amru Chazal. Imru lefanai malchios kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. We know the Gemara says that the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is divided into Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So the Gemara says, Imru lefanai malchios. Why do we say Malchios? No, what do we say Malchios? We say Psukim from Tanakh that speak about Hashem as a Melech. So Imru lefanai malchios, say before me Malchios, so that, kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you shall make me king over you. Says the Or Gedaliahu, B'Rosh Hashanah, Mamlichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'melech al kol habriyah. Like we learned yesterday, the goal is to declare Hashem king over the entire world. Like the Ma'isa I ended with yesterday from the Rebbe Rashab. In the last 5 years of his life, he was sitting in his little house and staring at the intricate design of the tiles, and said, I'm not going to leave this place until I'm Mamlech Hashem over every little tile. If you look out in the hall, hold the door open for a second. Just look out in the hall there. You see that floor over there? You see how like there's a pattern of all these little dots? Right? So that's the Avodah. When you walk out of this room, you walk into the hallway, you have to try to make sure that every dot knows that there's a creator of the world. Thank you, Shlomo Baruch, for that amazing help. The goal is that every blade of grass should know that there's a Borei Olam. But like we learned yesterday, the blades of grass don't have Bechira. A blade of grass can't choose God. Even the Umas HaOlam didn't choose Hashem. Hashem is Moshel Bagoyim, we learned yesterday. Hashem rules with a heavy hand. Like we learned in Avodah Zarah, Hashem offered them the Torah, they're not interested in it. It's the Jewish people have the ability to what? To choose a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the goal, says the Or Gedaliah of Rosh Hashanah, to be Mamlech Hashem over every bit of the Bria. That every nook and cranny of planet Earth and beyond should know that there's a creator to the world. This is the primary kvias, the primary establishment of the Yom Tov, the goal of the Yom Tov, to make Hashem king. When do we say the bracha on the day? On Shabbos we say Mekadesh HaShabbat, Mekadesh HaShabbos. On Rosh Chodesh we say Mekadesh. What do we say on Rosh Chodesh? What do we say? Yisrael Rashei Chadashim. Is that what we say? Yeah. Okay, sounds good. What do we say on Yom Tov? Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. What do we say on Rosh Hashanah? Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Hazikaron. Where do we say that in Musaf? There's a lot of pieces to Musaf. Where do we say the bracha on the day? Right? Where do we say the bracha on the day? Where do we insert the bracha of Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom Hazikaron? Do we say it in Malchios? Do we say it in Zichronos? Do we say it at the end of Shofros? Where do we put it? We put it in Malchios. Why do we put it in Malchios? Why is the bracha of Rosh Hashanah in Malchios? And it says of Gedaliah, sure, the answer is very simple. Because the bracha of the day captures for us the essence of the day. And the essence of the day, the purpose of Rosh Hashanah, is what? Is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the entire Bria. And therefore, it's dafka in that section of Musaf called Malchios that we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. Because that's what the whole day is about. Ki zehu ikir kedushas hayom mash mamlichim akadosh baruch hu. That is the kedushas hayom. That's the sanctity of the day. That's the centerpiece of the day. Again, it's throughout the davening, but the fact that we're koveya the bracha of the day in that part of the davening means this is the main part of it. Umalchus nikra shemavata ritzono leratzon hamelech. So as we've learned many times, what does it mean to make Hashem a king over you? It means to what? Malchus nikra shemavatel ritzono leratzon hamelech. To surrender your will to His will. To say that I'm not an independent being. Someone asked me yesterday after Shir, we were talking about the challenge of just kind of surrendering to Hashem. But what we have to realize is that when we surrender to Hashem, we become much bigger. Think about it for a second. It actually fits nicely with the Zohar. Because the Zohar, I just realized, the Zohar and Chai Sarah that says that the one who is big is small, and the one who is small is big. It's like the Kutzke Rebbe said. I never met a person as big as someone who makes himself small. The Zohar says on Chai Sarah, Vayu Chai Sarah, Meya Shana, Ve'esrim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim. So the Zohar says, why by Meya, which is a big number, it says Shana, and by Esrim, which is a bigger number, it says Shana, and by Sheva, by the smallest number, it says Shanim. You hear? You hear the question? You would say, what do you mean? That's just how Hebrew grammar dictates. Meya Shana, Esrim Shana. Sarah was how old? She was 100 Shana, and 20 Shana, and 7 Shanim. Plural. Why by the smallest number, 7, does it say plural? So the Zohar says, one who makes himself small is truly big. And the one who makes big is truly small. If you think you're so chashiv that you start to say, Kochi v'otzim yaldi asali asachayel ezeh, my six, my own, my strength is my own. I try to be an independent person to the point where I become independent from Hashem. So you're so small. You know why you're so small? Doesn't matter how big you are, you're still just a simple human. What happens when a Jew makes himself small? In other words, he humbles himself and surrenders to Hashem. To use a more Kabbalistic image, what happens if I take my drop of water, which is my neshama, and throw it back into the ocean? What happens to that drop of water? So you can say, well, now it's lost in the ocean, right? It becomes negated in the much bigger waters. Or maybe what? How else would you say it? When the drop is returned to the ocean, it becomes one with the ocean. So you could be this really, you know, big and independent drop of water. And you could say, look at me, look at my independence. Right? I don't want to be swallowed up by the ocean. Or you could surrender to the ocean, put your drop back into the ocean, and then you become the ocean. You become infinitely bigger. That's what it means to be mevatel yourself to Hashem. When tzaddikim surrender themselves to Hashem, it's not like, oh, nebuch, now they don't have an independence. They're so small. They've lost out on who they could be. They became so much bigger. When you reconnect your neshama, your chelek, elokam imal, to the source of all chiyus, to Hashem Himself. So then you get everything that comes along with that. It's a Shem Yishmuel also. Shem Yishmuel says, me and Jamie have this good thing going. Shem Yishmuel says, B'Shem his father, the Avnei Nezer. It says about Tshuva, in Parshas Netzavim, Lo B'Shamayim. Right? Let's assume that pasuk is talking about Tshuva. Tshuva is not in the heavens. I mean, Torah is not in the heavens, but Tshuva's not in the heavens. Lo b'shamayim hi. Anyone remember what Rashi says on Lo b'shamayim hi? Torah's not in the heavens. You don't have to ask, Mi yala lanu b'shamayim, how are we going to get to the heavens? Torah's not in the heavens. Rashi says, She'ilu haisa b'shamayim. Because if it was in the heavens. Haisatzarich la'alos acharei v'lalamda. You would have to go to the heavens. Tzarich, you would need la'alos acharei to ascend to the heavens after it and learn it. So we're lucky that Torah is not in the heavens. Because if it was in the heavens, then we'd have to go to the heavens to get it. How exactly do you go to the heavens to get something? How do you go to the heavens to get something? How's that possible? But again, I know Hashem told me to learn the Torah. I think Hashem told me to learn the Torah. I don't know. It's a little unclear what the source is for learning Torah. Maybe this pasuk. Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael v'yomar aleim Shema Yisrael asachukim es mishpatim asher anochi dover ba'aznechem hayom ulamadtem osam. Dvarim chapter 5 verse 1. Learn Torah. We know other psukim also. Vishnantim levanecha, teach it to your kids. Well, if you're going to teach it to someone, you probably have to learn it yourself first. So I know I have to learn it. Parshas Nitzavim, thank you Hashem for not leaving it in the heavens. Because guess what? If Hashem would have left it in the heavens, says Rashi, we'd still have to learn it. So how are we going to get it? I don't know. Tzarech lalos acharei. Got to go to the heavens to get it. You hear this question? David, you hear this question? What does that mean? How am I supposed to go to the heavens and get it? So the Shem Yishmuel says an amazing thing in the name of his father. He says it here, but it applies to everything that Hashem asks you to do, which is, if Hashem asks you to do it, you can do it. But Hashem, I'm a small guy. How do you expect me to do it? Chevra, what halachic principle is the answer to that question? Four words. What halachic principle is the answer to why anything Hashem asks me to do, I can do? Let me hear your five. Ein davar omid b'fnei ratzon. Okay, good. We spoke about that, but I told you that's not even a Maimer Chazal. It's not even a real Maimer Chazal. I want a Shas concept that explains why if Hashem tells you to do something, even if you don't think you have the strength to do it, you could do it. Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. What does Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso mean? Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso means that someone was once sent by Rabbi Akiva Eger to go to a chasana and to wish a mazel tov on behalf of Rabbi Akiva Eger. And the fellow went. It was another Rav, a chashuv Rav. He stayed at the chasana. He stayed a really long time. So they asked him, it's so nice that you came, but you know, like, you're a very busy person. Why did you stick around so long? He says, you don't understand. I'm Rabbi Akiva Eger's shliach, which means that as long as I'm still carrying out the shlichus, what? I'm Rabbi Akiva Eger. Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. So I'm in no rush to go back to being me. I want to be Rabbi Akiva Eger for the night, you know? Hashem says, you're my shliach. It's one of the awesomest ideas. It's really one of the awesomest ideas. I'm not just being dramatic. It's really one of the awesomest ideas. That if we become messengers of Hashem, if we're charged with the mission of bringing Hashem into this world, then we become Hashem's shliach. And guess what? Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. So if you try to be your own thing, I don't want to work for God. I want to be my own thing. Okay, so you'll be as big as you can be, intellectually, physically strong and healthy, successful. You'll be as big as the greatest human being. And you know what that is compared to Hashem? Garbage, nothing. Nothing. But if you surrender to Hashem, and you say, Hashem, I want to be your shliach, nu? So what powers do I have now? I have all the powers in the world. A Jew is created, B'Tselem Elokim. What does that mean, Elokim? What does the name Elokim mean? Tselem Elokim, you're creating the image of Elokim. Elokim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name as what? As the creator. As the one who has Kol HaKochos Kulam. That is the definition. Where'd it go? I don't have a Mishnah Berurah, volume 1? I thought I saw one. That's volume 6. Mishnah Berurah, volume 1. Okay, it's okay. No, it's okay, it's okay. In Simen Hay, in the 5th chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, it says, what is the definition of the name Elokim? Baal HaKochos Kulam. The master of all strength. So if you're created B'Tselem Elokim, says the Nefesh HaChaim, what does that mean? I guess that means if I attach myself to Hashem, I also have all the strength in the world. So then you read a Rashi in the Tzavim that says, if the Torah was in Shemayim, you'd have to find a way to get it. And you're like, yeah, of course I can. Of course I can. If Hashem tells me to do it, I'm Hashem's shliach, then just like Hashem resides in the heavens, I can also reside in the heavens. It's not that hard. We thank Hashem, He made it easier. He brought the Torah down to earth. But chevra, it's an amazing idea if you think about it. So when a person makes himself small, coming back to our point in the Orga Dalyahu, when a person mevatel himself, when we surrender to the Ratzon Hashem, it's not making you smaller. It makes you much bigger. It makes you much bigger. Let's look at the Sfiros for a second. Okay, this is going to help us throughout the year on the board. Yeah? Everyone catch a glimpse over here? Okay? We're talking about being Mamlech Hashem, Malchus, establishing Hashem as Melech. Which of the seven Ushpizen, our guests that we're going to welcome into our sukkah in a couple of weeks, who corresponds to Malchus? David, David HaMelech. Yeah? David. David HaMelech. What did David HaMelech think of himself? Chashev Melech. He's David HaMelech. He's David Malka Meshicha. David HaMelech. No? Anochi Tola'as V'lo Ish. David HaMelech says, I'm not even a person. I'm a worm. David HaMelech says, I'm a worm. Come on, David HaMelech, you know you're a Chashev, a king. You're a big person. David says, no, I'm actually a very small person. In the Sviros, Malchus corresponds to the moon. Why is Malchus connected to the moon? Because the moon doesn't have its own light. The moon doesn't try to shine its own light. The moon tries to what? To reflect the light of the sun. To be someone who gives back the light of the sun. That's how David saw himself. I'm a shliach of Hashem. I'm a shliach of Hashem. David made himself humble and small. That's why in the writings of the Zohar it says that Malchus, the sphere of Malchus, at the bottom of the chain, just look, it's the 10th sphere, it's the lowest point, it's not mashpia onto anything else, all the other ones, right, are being mashpia, there's a spiritual energy descending through the chain. Malchus, it says in Zohar, leislei migarmei klum, it has nothing of its own. It's a makabel, it's on the receiving end of things. What do you mean? But David HaMelech, you do everything for everyone. I'm just a receiver. I'm on the receiving end. I'm a shliach of Hashem. Come on, look at the seven names on the board. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. I'll tell you something that I heard from the Struchina Rebbe Shlita. Heard it directly from his mouth. Which one of the seven individuals on the board has the smallest gematria? David, by a long shot. Avram's 248. Yitzchak is 208. Yaakov's 182, Moshe 345. Everyone's at least, you know, over 100. Aaron 256, Yosef 156, David 14. 14? Such a small number. But you know what happens when you humble yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When you're able to acknowledge Anochi Tola'as V'lo Ish, I'm just a worm, Hashem. I'm just a worm. I'm that worm in that story of the Baal Shem Tov, where the Baal Shem Tov's Talmidim were questioning him about Hashgacha Pratis. And the Baal Shem Tov said, I'll show you Hashgacha Pratis. And they saw a little worm crawling in the dirt. And it was a very sunny day. And it was very hot. And the Baal Shem Tov said, look, this worm, you could see. The Baal Shem Tov said, I can see. The worm is davening to Hashem. The worm wants to get out of the heat. And then just then, a tree sheds a leaf, and a leaf falls down. Floats all the way down, and it lands on the ground, right over the worm, providing shade for the worm. So Hashem Tov said, you see, Hashgacha Pratis. So David HaMelech says, Anochi Solas V'lo Ish. Right? V'ani Tfila. I'm like the Tfila, David says, of that little worm. I have the smallest gematria of all. But what did it say in the Zohar? A person who makes himself small is truly the biggest. When you take your drop of neshama and throw it back into the ocean, into the neshama of all neshamos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you become the biggest. So you know what the Struchina Rebbe said? What happens when you take David and Miloy? Spell out the letters. Dalid, Vav, Dalid. How much is Dalid in Gematria? How do you spell Dalit?
How do you spell the word Dalit? Spell like a Dallas. Yeah? We said there's three vavs. I don't know. Let's use the biggest vav.
Vav Yud Vav. So what do you get? 434 plus how much? Plus 22 plus 434. Now what is that? How much? 890? 890. Okay? 890. So the Sechina Rebbe said, if you make the miloy of all the names on the board, like separately, not put them all together. If you do the miloy of Avram, if you do the miloy of Yitzhak, do the miloy of Yaakov, you know who has the biggest miloy? David. The one who's small, the one who's so hidden, is actually the biggest. I think, that's why I'm pausing, because I'm trying to think as I'm saying it. Let's do the miloy of Avram for a second. Let's do the miloy of Avram.
Let's do this for 1 second. So Aleph is what, 111? Bez is 412. Resh is, no, it's going to be bigger than David. So how does it work? You did something wrong.
Oh, except for Avram, right? Except for Avram, that's what he said. Except for Avram, I knew there was something else. Except for Avram, Avram's the only one who's bigger than Dovid. He explained why this. Avram's bigger, but all the other ones, Dovid is the biggest miloy. Dovid becomes bigger than Yosef and Aaron and Moshe and Yaakov and Yitzchak, up to Avram. Because Avram is Chesed and Dovid is Mashiach. You got a whole Torah. Osa Chesed leMashicho, right? Magdil Yeshua Smalka, make big Yeshua Smalka, make the one who's Mashiach and Yeshua, Vosa Chesed, the Mashiach, he had a whole Torah. Whatever. But it shows that a person who makes himself small is actually big. So you come to Rosh Hashanah and you say, Hashem, I want to ask for all these things. You're a fool if you spend Rosh Hashanah asking for things. You're only going to get this big. If you just crown Hashem over the whole universe, you'll have everything. That's Mashiach. Then you'll have everything you need. You won't be lacking anything. Yes, what do you want to say? Who's the sun? Who's shining upon the moon? It's a good question. The beginning of Avodah Zarah was people thought that the sun was God. So the relationship between Hashem and the sun is very significant. The relationship between Yaakov and the sun is significant. Avram is Yoshev Pesach Ha'olah Kechom Hayom, in the heat of the day. So Avram's connection to the sun might be something also. Shiach has to do with the sun also. Sun and the moon. So the realigning of the sun and the moon, back to creation, things like that. Okay. Yes. That's true. Moshe is very humble. That's true. Yes. Yes. Moshe and Aaron were very humble. Avram was very humble. David HaMelech said, I'm a worm. Avram said, I'm dust and ashes. Anochi ofer ve'efer. Even more humble. Truth is, Moshe and Aaron were even more humble. They said, V'nachnu ma, what are we? We're not anything. We're not even dirt. Okay? But as the Sechina Rebbe told us another time, you don't have to make every Torah fit with every Torah. In a certain sense, Malchus is clearly the lowest. David's name is clearly the smallest. David the Melech described himself as a nothing. David the Melech, Malchus, leis lemi garmei klum. Malchus is the moon. The moon is always on the receiving end. So we have enough to say a shtickle. Let's go on. I'm sorry for that long tangent, but it was an important tangent. Because people think, I want to be my own thing. You will not be as great if you try to be your own thing. If you're mevatel yourself to the Ratzon Hashem, you will be much greater. You'll be much bigger. The proof is every tzaddik who became great. Look at their humility. That's how they became great. Let's keep reading inside. So he said, the ikar avod of the day is to be mevatel ritzono l'ritzon ha-melech, v'yodeya shekol sibos u'mikrim shekorim lo hu me'ei sibas kol ha-sibos. And to realize that whatever happens, siba means whatever occurs, every incident that I experience, mikrim shekorim, whatever happens, it's all sibos, it's me'es sibas kol ha-sibos. It comes from the cause of all causes. Hashem's running the show. Melech, malchim, lochim, mekadosh baruch. Okay, second paragraph. Rosh Hashanah hu yom b'riyas adam arishon. Like we learned yesterday, Rosh Hashanah is the day one of man being able to recognize Hashem. Uve'b'riyas adam arishon nikva malchuso yisbarach ba'olam kamo shebe'arnu. And through the creation of man, the kingdom could be established, as we learned yesterday. Uve'chol shana v'shana b'yom hazeh asher nivra adam arishon. Nischadish haratzon hazeh etzel ha-kadosh baruch hu shal ana emloch. And like we learned yesterday, every year we come to Rosh Hashanah, Hashem's desire to rule is once again awakened. Ana emloch, I will rule, Hashem says. Haratzon shahaya be'ez b'riyas adam, like it was when man was created. Good. V'lechei nikva yom hazeh liyom tov, shemamlichem ha-kadosh baruch hu l'melech ha-kol ha-briya, ki b'yom hazeh hischila malchusi yisbarach ba'olam, uvechol shana nischadish zeh ha-malchus. Fine, that was all chazar from yesterday. First paragraph in the left column. Why is Rosh Hashanah a Yom HaDin? We didn't answer that question. We've explained how Adam HaRishon creates the possibility of Hashem ruling in this world, even though Hashem ruled before this world. We understand how Adam's job is to bring the whole world to sing Shira, like we ended yesterday. Adam gathered the world, L'chu Naranan Ala Hashem. We understand now why we make the bracha of Mikadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron in Malchios. Why is Rosh Hashanah a day of judgment? What does that have to do with this? So explains Rav Gedalia Shur so beautifully. Kol ha'inyan sheRosh Hashanah hu yom din noveya mizeh shehu yom shenikva malchuso yisbarach ba'olam. The reason that Rosh Hashanah was established as a day of judgment is completely connected to this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing his malchus. Think about it. A little bit it's going to contradict what we said yesterday, because a melech has to be chosen by the people. But let's be honest. A moshel rules, again, completely by force. A melech is selected by the people, but he also governs. The melech doesn't allow for hefkeris. The melech also has to punish at times. The melech has to be in charge. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu establishes his malchus, yes, he needs us to choose him, but Hashem is also what? It's a melech ha-mishpat. There's going to be midas ha-din. That's what comes along with malchus. Avinu malkeinu. Avinu is the loving father. Malkeinu is expectations, demands, mishpat. Right? Ha-melech ha-mishpat. Like we say during the Aser Simei Tshuva. So when a king establishes his kingdom, he needs to have midas ha-din. Again, on Rosh Hashanah, the fact that it's a yom ha-din comes from the fact that it's a time of malchus. Ki kamo b'malchus beiz vav dalid. What does that stand for? Just like a king of flesh and blood, basar v'dam. Be'ez sheba likvoa malchuso. When a human king, wants to establish his kingdom. Hu roe shekol b'nei hamedina yekablu aleya malchuso. He needs to ensure that what? That people are going to respect him and accept him. V'shalo yimridu b'hamalchus shalo. What's he going to do when he finds that 95 accept him, but there's 5% of rebels who are trying to be morid b'malchus, to rebel against the king? He's got to do something about that, or his whole kingdom will fall apart. Kein kiviyachol be'ez shenikva malchuso yizbarach ba'olam. So too, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu establishes his kingdom in this world, yesh din ala adim imhim lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu al asmo b'zeh ha'shana sha'avra. Hashem looks at you to see, were you one of the loyal servants of the king? Or were you one of the rebels this last year? Did you help the kingdom to get stronger and more prominent? Or did, God forbid, the things you did embarrass the king? Did you rebel against the rules of the land? V'im yesh makom b'chlal b'hamalchus shemayim. Do you have a place in the kingdom? V'zeu ha'din she'yesh ala adnim b'Rosh Hashanah. And that's what Hashem is looking at in Rosh Hashanah. Did you bring honor to the kingdom? Was your life a Kiddush Hashem, or was your life a Chil Hashem? I was very upset. Something happened this past Motzei Shabbos. I saw what in my mind was a tremendous Chil Hashem, and it's still bothering me deeply. I hate when Jews don't know how to behave properly. I don't want to say, God forbid, anything bad about Jews. But it bothers me deeply when basic midos that a person should know how to have, and they don't get it. It's so shocking to me. I just don't understand it. I guess I'm lucky my parents raised me to be a mensch. I don't know. like basic stuff. A little respect for another human being. It's such a chil Hashem. It's a chil Hashem. All it takes is you know, one non-Jewish photographer to be at that event and to see how Jews act and to say, what is this? That's a huge befarhesia, chil Hashem. So Hashem looks on Rosh Hashanah and says, did you help to make my malchus, you know, Hashem malach geyus lavesh, Hashem wants to rule with pride. Did you help to make my malchus, my kingdom, something to be proud of? Were you a mamleches kohan and v'goy kadosh? Or are you a rebel who's trying to overthrow the kingdom? Shemod mesa adam imal yado nisrabe kvod shamayim b'habriya. Did you bring honor to Hashem in this world? Ki b'midas hadin tzimtzim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mida l'chol b'riya u'b'riya hagila kvod shamayim shetzarech letzeis mimenu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through midas hadin, divvied out, so to speak, a measure of kvod shamayim that each of us is responsible for. Did you do your job? Some people are going to bring a lot of kvod shamayim. Some people, in a more quiet way, are going to bring kvod shamayim, depending on the role that you play in the world. Are you a private person? Are you a public person? How does it play out amongst your friends, amongst your family, in your community? How does it play out in your workplace? Depending on where you are, Hashem gives you your chelek in kvod shamayim, and Hashem checks you at the end of the year to see, did you bring kvod shamayim? Did you bring honor to the kingdom? V'alzeh danin oso, and that's what you're judged on at Rosh Hashanah. And it's not only a judgment of the past year, but like we've learned about, the ratzon that you have to what? To bring kvod shamayim in the coming year. Do you want to do better? Are you committed to doing better? I shared a story in my drasha this past Shabbos. In the Beis Medrash of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. So he said one time, there were two bachrim who were talking on Shabbos morning during davening, during Shachris. I told you the story or no? So he called over one of the bachrim, and he says to him, I saw that you were talking Shabbos morning during Shachris. You were talking during davening. For the next 2 weeks, don't come to our Beis Medrash. It's completely unacceptable. Beis Yisrael, the fourth Ger Rebbe, was very sharp. Passed away in the 1970s. So Beis Yisrael said, don't come to our Beis Medrash for 2 weeks. So the fellow says, Rebbe, you know, just to be honest, I wasn't actually talking. The guy next to me was talking to me, and I was really more listening than talking. So the Rebbe says, you were just listening, you weren't talking, you were just listening? 6 weeks, don't come back for 6 weeks. Don't come to my Beis Medrash for 6 weeks. You're blaming it on your friend, don't come back for 6 weeks. Calls over the other fellow, and he says to him, Nu, I saw you were talking to Yankel during Shachris. Please don't come back to the Beis Medrash the next two Shabbos, and don't come back for 2 weeks. So the fellow says, Rebbe, I'll be honest, I was talking, and I want to commit from this day forward, never to do it again. So the Ger Rebbe said, if that's the case, you're invited back into the Beis Medrash immediately. The person makes excuses and says, you know, oh, well, I know I didn't bring a lot of Malchus Shemayim, but like it's my roommate's fault. My Chavrusa was always talking to me during Seder, I was just listening. Hashem says, no, get out of here. The person who says, Hashem, I know this past year, maybe the overall life that I lived had a lot of Chil Hashem, but next year I want to be a Kiddush Hashem. I want to be an ambassador. Shlucho shel Adam Kamoso. So Hashem says, okay, if that's the case, then good. Kasveinu l'chaim. Put him in the book of life. You know? Hashem writes you in. So that's what we're being judged on Rosh Hashanah. Where were you? Where do you want to be? What are you doing for the kingdom? V'chein adin al lehaba. What's it going to look like in the future? Gam ken al derech zeh. Eize makom prati yel ish hazeh besocha malcha shemayim. Where are you going to be in the kingdom? O yichya o yamus, o yani o yasher. Right? Are you going to be alive or dead? Are you going to be poor or rich? Hashem says, if I give you life, what are you going to do with it? However, which phrase do we say during the Aseret Yimei Tshuva that captures this? Kasveinu l'chaim, melech chafetz b'chaim. Hashem wants us to live. He would love for us to live. Nu? Zochreinu l'sefer achayim. Lemancha, that's the magic word, lemancha. Lemancha elokim chai. I want to live lemancha. If you can say lemancha and mean it, that I want to live for you, Hashem, that I want to be part of your malchus, then Hashem says, okay, then ye shall live. Right? If you want to really live. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, uvacharta v'chayim, you should choose life. I don't know the end of that pasuk. Choose life what? Uvacharta v'chayim, l'man tichya. Choose life so that you shall live. What do you mean, so that you shall live? You're not just asking Hashem, you're not saying Hashem, just give me physical life. You're making a commitment that if I give you more time, then you say to Hashem, l'man chalukim chayim, do it for your sake. Do it for your sake doesn't mean, you know, you be a good guy, God, and have mercy on me. For your sake means that I'm committing to live for your sake. I want to live in a way that gives honor to the kingdom. Give me money so that I can spend it in a way that gives honor to the kingdom. Give me life and strength and health and wisdom so I can use it to give honor to the kingdom. Yes? Correct.
Very question and not one on each other.
Live for the king.
On the other hand, the whole thing is that what is Hashem here about? What the only thing that matters insofar as getting a good kasima is that he gets all the Hashem gets all the comfort and all he gets all the, so what, Hashem is an ego? We have to be about ourselves so that he can get all the
Okay, it's a good question, right? You could definitely find Pesukim to make it sound like Hashem is very everything we're trying not to be, right? Again, go back to the we started with. Hashem malach geus lavesh. Geut is the lashon of gaiva. God, who in Maseches Sota says about gaiva, I want nothing to do with. I don't want to be connected to a baal gaiva in any way. That same God, who hates the baal gaiva so much, wraps himself in gaiva. Hashem malach geus lavesh. It's a good question. It's a good question. First thing is that Hashem deserves it and we don't. There's nothing wrong with having something that you deserve. Everyone thinks they deserve it, right. But we all know that we don't deserve it and Hashem does deserve it. We all know that. If we voted on that now, we would all agree that we don't deserve the kavod and Hashem deserves the kavod. It's actually our own gaiva that even asked this question, I think. I think it's our gaiva that raises this question. Right? Like, why does God get to be God? Why does God get all the honor? Right? How about the pasuk from Yeshaya from yesterday? That everything I made was what? L'chvodi. Kol shenikr b'shmi v'lichvodi b'rasiv. It's all for my kavod. When we attach ourselves to Hashem, we become the recipients of that kavod also. It's the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. A person who what? A person who chases after kavod, kavod runs away from you. And a person who runs away from kavod, kavod chases after. If you run away from kavod, you give the kavod to Hashem, Hashem will give the kavod right back to you. So in truth, you know why Hashem wants the kavod? Because He loves you and He wants to give you the kavod. Someone once came to a tzaddik and said, Rebbe, you know, I've been running away from kavod for so long and it's just not catching up to me. It says in Chazal, if you run away from kavod, it'll catch up to you. So he says, yeah, but the problem is, you're running from kavod, but you keep looking over your shoulder. You're waiting for it to catch up to you, which means, basically, you're chasing kavod. Kavod's a big inyan. Kavod's a very beginning. The Chavetz Chaim says the only Olam Haba you can get in this world is kavod. It's a spiritual thing, kavod. People who have everything still want kavod. Why? It's not enough that you have the biggest house and the prettiest wife and the best kids and Hashem made you really smart and successful. But you can see, like, this person, like, he demands kavod. It's annoying. You see people demand, they want kavod. You have everything else. Don't be such a baby. No, kavod, says the Chavetz Chaim, is a very spiritual thing. When you get kavod in this world, it takes away from your Olam Haba. It's a deeply emotional experience, a spiritually emotional experience, kavod. The feeling of someone giving you kavod. That's why we should try to give others kavod. That doesn't take away from their Olam Haba. If you take kavod for yourself, you're spending your Olam Haba in this world. If you give someone kavod, then you're giving someone a taste of Olam Haba. That's one of the kindest things you could do to a person. Called the Machabed Asabrios. It says in Pirkei Avos. You honor others, Hashem will honor you. So we have this reciprocal relationship with kavod. Give kavod to Hashem, and Hashem will give it back to you. It's not Hashem being self-centered and gaivadik. Hashem malach geus lavesh. He wraps himself in kavod. He wraps himself in pride. Hashem wants to give it to you. But Hashem asks you to know your place. Makiris makomo, know your place in the world. Put your drop back into the ocean, and then you'll be big, and you'll get covered, and you'll have kol hakochos kulam, you'll be tzelem elokim, you'll be shulcho sha'adam kamosa, everything we explained today. But it's hard. It's hard to let go. I want to be me. I want to be my own thing. It's very hard to let go of that. Yeah.
So this statement that we just said, that we just spoke about right now, that we referenced the Zechar.
Right. Leman chelukim chayim.
So is this now, are we trying to assume that this upcoming year we're going to be like this perfect Joe?
I don't know about perfect. I don't know that we have to commit to be perfect.
Because know in advance that we're going to end up bringing up some level of Kilah Shabbos.
Yeah, of course.
We now promise now that we're not going to be there.
We're not promising that we're going to be perfect. We're learning from our Rebbe, Rebbe Gedalia Shor, that what I'm supposed to be thinking about on Rosh Hashanah, this is not all theoretical Torah we've been learning for 3 weeks. This is what you're supposed to do on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to think, Hashem, I'm here to crown you over the world. I don't even really know what that means, even though I've been learning it B'Iyun for 3 weeks. For an hour a day. I still don't really know what that means. I just know that I'm going to try to be more mindful of you. I'm going to try to be more humbled in your presence. I'm going to try to be more subservient to your will and do what you ask me to do as opposed to constantly deviating from your will to do what I want to do. I'm not going to be perfect. Of course I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to seek out opportunities to be mechabed shem shemayim. I'm going to seek out opportunities. I'm going to look for someone to make a Kiddush Hashem in front of. I had this, I'm trying to remember what it was. The other day I had something, I was somewhere. Oh, that's what it was. When I got that text message the other day about, remember I put in the group about running the, what was it? Yeah, like the drama rap class, what was it? Hey, yeah, the hip-hop dance class. Yeah, the hip-hop dance class. Yeah, so when I got that text message about the hip-hop dance class, so I wrote back, you know, whatever I showed you. I said, I think you have the wrong number, but I'm happy to help out with the hip-hop dance class. Right? So she said, oh, I'm so sorry. And then she said, wow, that was really nice of you to respond. Right? Like many people get like a random text like that, like, it's obviously the wrong number. I don't have to respond to this. Right? So she was very appreciative that, like, oh, thank you so much for responding. I don't know why I'm saying she. I'm assuming it was she. Maybe it was he. I'm not sure if it was a man or a woman, is what I'm saying. So I was thinking, I was very tempted to write back. I didn't know if this was like, you know, kind of ruins the authenticity of the moment. I was going to write back, like, I'm Jewish, and Jewish people are, you know, we try to be sensitive in that way. Like, I thought that was an opportunity to say, like, I responded because as a Torah observant person, I tried to be, you know, that's one of the values of Torah. That's what I was trying to say. I just wasn't sure if that was going to come off as like, you know, too much, yeah. So I didn't. But you have to look for opportunities. When you have a yarmulke on your head, you have to look for opportunities to be extra nice to the security guard or to whatever, whoever it is in the world that you meet. And to be mindful of the fact you have a yarmulke on your head. The Chavetz Chaim told his Talmidim, Rav Nassim Gestetner, who we mentioned the other day, Lahoras Nassim. So in the Hakdamah to Pirkei Avos, he says that the Chavetz Chaim would tell his Talmidim that you have to be very careful not to be Mechal Shem Shemayim, because if you're Mechal Shem Shemayim, people are going to say that Jewish sages, the Talmidei Chachamim, are making a Chil Hashem. So he said to the Chavetz Chaim, Rebbe, people are looking at you like that. You're the Chavetz Chaim. We're just, you know, we're just the Talmidim. If a Talmud makes a Chil Hashem, it's like not as big a deal as if, you know, a Gadol B'Yisrael makes a Chil Hashem. Chavetz Chaim said, no, if you make a Chil Hashem, it's as if a big Talmud Chacham made a Chil Hashem. So he said, they said, that's not true, Rebbe. We're not big Talmidei Chachamim. So the Chavetz Chaim said to them, it's very insightful. The Chavetz Chaim said, to the world, you're a big enough Talmud Chacham. You have a yarmulke on your head, people know what that means. You're an Orthodox Jew. That means people are ready, they're holding you to a totally different standard. Whether it's fair or not, we can debate. But that's the reality. If you don't hold the door for the person behind you, someone thinks badly of the Jewish people because you are slightly insensitive to look over your shoulder and hold the door for the next person. And if you do that, someone says, "Ah, look how Jews act." It's a big deal. That's part of giving kavod to the kingdom. Yeah. Shluch Hashalom Kamoso, meaning? Right, right. If you're a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim, right. There's a beautiful story with Rav Pam. Rav Pam, one of the Talmidim of Rav Pam, once went to a bookstore. It was a Jewish bookstore. A used Jewish bookstore. Maybe it wasn't even Jewish books, I don't know. And bought a book. You know, all books, $5. So bought a book for $5. He goes home, he starts reading the book, you know the Maisa? He starts reading the book. And as he's flipping through, he starts to notice, opens to a page, he sees a $100 bill. Turns the page, another $100 bill. Turns the page, another $100 bill. Someone had hidden money in this book. You know, it's where he kept like extra cash. And every page, there's another $100 bill. It's like $5,000 in cash in this book that he bought for $5. Obviously, the owner of the store, who probably got this, you know, book at some whatever yard sale, didn't realize that it was filled with $5,000. So he comes back to the store. He brings back the book to the store. And the owner of the store is blown away by this. Like, who does that? You know, there's a story in the news the other year about a Jew who bought like a used desk and found $98,000 in the desk drawer and returned it. So this Talmud of Rav Pam, who bought this book, comes back to the store and says, you know, I bought it for $5, but you didn't realize what you were selling me. There's actually thousands of dollars in cash in this book, and I don't feel right taking it. It really belongs to you. So the owner of the store said to him, like, why did you do that? Blinking, he said, because I'm a student of Rav Avram Pam. That's it. My Rebbe's Rav Pam. Like, if you knew who my Rebbe was, like, it's not a shaila in the world that, of course, like, that's the right thing to do. That's what I did. So you're right. Shluch HaShalom Kamosim. You're Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. People say, no, you gotta act like a Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. I gave you Musar one time? Who did I give? What was it? No, what was the Maisa? Is it, can we say it on Beravim? What was it?
Oh,
yeah, what do you want to say? Whatever. Either way. It's the only time I said that. A guy with Yaakov. It's true though. I'm saying you're Talmud of Salvechik. Huh? You go to YU. No, I'm saying people look at you. It's a real thing. It's a real thing. What did you want to say? What's the other one? Yeah. Gabriel. The guy from Marina.
The guy was like, had a huge smile on his face, and somebody actually like listened to his name. The first time I actually cared, he didn't forget his name by the time he had the ball.
It's Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem. He's like this funny guy. This funny guy.
He was just trying to show that, like, no matter who I say, like,
he always says funny things.
He doesn't remember my name, it's why they had, you know? Or mostly actually remembered his name, and he was like, yeah, I got a smile, like, here to you.
Kiddush Shem Shemayim. No, that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is remembering the security guard at the entrance of this building's name. Yeah? How many of you know the name of the woman who sits in the Gluck building by the library? For the last 20 years. You don't know her name? Okay, that's your homework assignment. You tell her. Tell her we've been hanging out. Ask her name. Say, I see you every day. I come in and out. Ask her name. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The woman at the desk. Ask her her name. Okay? I'm serious. That's homework. I want a text from each of you separately. No cheating. I want a text between now and 9:15 tomorrow morning with the name of the woman who sits at the desk. And then when you see her next time, you can say hello and you can say her name. And make a Kiddush Hashem in that way. Okay, Chaver, let's finish one more paragraph. Iker Tafkira Adam, the bottom paragraph on the page. Iker Tafkira Adam, Yomazel Lakaba Allah Malchus Shamayim. The main goal of Rosh Hashanah is to accept upon yourself Malchus Shemayim. Ukefi Masha Mekabo Lav Malchus Yisbarach, Kein Hu Yotzei Zakai Bedin. In accordance with your acceptance of the kingdom, that will be your success on Rosh Hashanah. Sign up to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. V'lachein Ra'inu Ki Betfilas Hayom Ein Adam Mevakesh Al Tzarchav HaPratim Pratim. On Rosh Hashanah, it's not a day to ask for your specific needs. You don't find that anywhere in the davening. There's no atachon in la'adam das. There's nothing. There's not even a vidoy. There's nothing. Ela rov atfilos heim al kvod malchus shemayim. Uvechein tein pachtacha. Uvechein iskade shemecha. Everything is give kavod to the kingdom. Give kavod to the Jewish people because we're your kingdom. Amlachas kohanim, v'goy kadosh. She is rabbi kvod malchus shemayim. Uvezeh yiturat masha amdu bezeh miksas ha-mefarshim. And now we understand that which the mefarshim asked. Hello, Kai Malancha Asr Levakish Tzarcha Begimel Brachos Rishonos. The first three brachos of Shmona Esrei are supposed to be what? What are the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei as opposed to the middle section of Shmona Esrei, which is all the bakashos? We start by what? By praising Hashem. By praising Hashem. And therefore, the question the Mefarshim ask is Lama Kan Babirchas Ata Kadosh? Why in the Ata Kadosh of what? Of Rosh Hashanah, Hosifu Kol Elu Bakashos? We make bakashos. What do we ask? Uvechein tein pachtecha. Uvechein, uvechein, uvechein. And do this, and do that, and do this, and do that. What are we asking? You're not allowed to ask. This is still the opening section of Shmona Esrei. Uvechein tein pachtecha, uvechein tein kavod. What are you asking? The answer is, Rakol ve'elu habakashos einam litzarchav. But when you realize what I'm asking for in Hashanah is not about me, I'm not asking for my needs. Rak bakasha alis galus malchus shemayim. Turn the page. But rather, what I'm asking is what? That the kingdom should be strengthened. So therefore, what? Mutar lahosif begimel rishonos. I'm allowed to ask even in the first three brachos. Ve'ikra tviya la'odim biyom hazeh. And the main thing Hashem is demanding of me on this day is lahamlicha kadosh baruch hu alav va'oz yatzazaka b'din. The shofar is being mamlich Hashem. Think about the shofar. One of the psukim we say before we blow the shofar, min ha-meitzar karasi ka anani b'merchav ka. Min ha-meitzar. Think about the shofar. Think about the shape of the shofar. Everything's a Torah, chevra. Think about the shape of the shofar. Right? The shofar, you blow through which end? The small end. But as the voice emerges, it gets what? It gets wider and wider. The shofar, min ha-meitzar, from the narrow straits, I called out to you, Hashem. Answer me b'merchav, answer me with expansiveness. Yeah. If you make yourself small, if you blow in the small end of the shofar, it'll come out big. The halacha says you blow, try to blow, I don't know how you would do it, you have to be a very talented person. But if you could make the sound from the wide end of the shofar, it's not kosher. Because if you start off big, you're going to end up small. If you start off small, then you're going to become much bigger. Mamash, an amazing yisod. Let's just end with one final paragraph for today. Really, last paragraph for today. Everything we've been talking about is true both on an individual level and on a collective level. Let's say a person says, I'm a good guy. I say hello to the security guard. Right? I'm mindful of the fact that I'm wearing a yarmulke in my business practices. When I walk the street, I try to be a walking Kiddush Hashem. Even if a person as an individual, kishu yachad b'fnei atzma, is very good at being mekadosh shem shemayim. Or the reverse. If as an individual, you're not so good at it. Lo yisrab al yadu kvod shemayim. Let's say you're not so good at bringing kvod shemayim. U'lechora ein lo makum ba'abriya. And then you feel like, so where's my place in the world? Afal pichein, emitzad haklal yisrab al yadu kvod shemayim. If somehow, from a tzibur perspective, you're part of giving kvod shemayim, even if as an individual you don't do anything that's so outstanding. And you're part of the team, again, not just throwing your drop back into the ocean, which is Hashem, but taking your individual self and negating yourself to what? To Klal Yisrael, to the team, to the tzibur. You can be saved on Rosh Hashanah by being part of the team, even if as an individual you're not so outstanding. And that's the pshat in the Gemara, when the Gemara says that on Rosh Hashanah, kula niskarin b'skira achas. Everyone is judged with a single glance. What does that mean? Sheyesh skira klalios mitzad haklal. That Hashem looks at the individuals, of course, but Hashem also looks at the tzibur. How are the Jewish people, begadol, doing? And that's what Rav Bunam HaPrishischa meant when he said that on Rosh Hashanah is a bechina of Bisoch Ami Anochi Yosheves. The feeling of Rosh Hashanah, again, I don't want to be independent from God, and I don't want to be independent from Klal Yisrael. If I'm part of the Tzibur, like Rabbi Kalinsky mentioned the Remez, from some of the Gedolei Machshava by the Asifa at the beginning of the year, that the gematria of Tzibur is Rachamim. What's Tzibur? Birachamim? 308. How much is Rachamim? Rachamim? 288? Hold on, one second. Rachamim is how much? Tzibur, there's no yud in Tzibur. Tzadi, Beis, Vav, Reish is 288. Yeah, so Tzibur is Rachamim. You want Rachamim Shemayim? You want Rachamim? You have to be part of the Tzibur. Besoch Ami Anochi Yosheves. Shitzarach Odom Lichalol Atzmo Besoch HaKlal. Include yourself as part of the Tzibur. Ukamo Kein Donim Esadim Rosh Hashanah Beprat Befnei Atzmo. And yet at the same time you're judged as an individual, like the Gemara also says, that we're over in the fun of Kibnei Maron, we walk before Hashem like sheep, passing before Hashem one by one, and Hashem looks at us individually to see how our Kvod Shemayim is doing. So however, two major things, we rushed through that last point, but it's a very important point. To be not independent from Hashem, in terms of my own desire, and to not be independent of the Jewish people. Be proud to be a part of the team. You don't lose anything by being subsumed within Klal Yisrael. You don't try to do your own in a way that can be destructive to you. See yourself as part of the Tzibur, as part of the kingdom that's trying to bring Kvod Shemayim, and then you'll be Zoche B'din. It's as simple as that. Okay? Okay. Hashem should help us to achieve this goal. Shabbat.